Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Joined now by Joe Rexroad. Joe Rexroad is a fabulous columnist. Once worked, as I did, for Gannett, now works for The Athletic over there in Nashville. I subscribe to The Athletic, and you should too. Joe Rexroad is just one reason. You should follow him on Twitter, at Joe Rexroad. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Jeff. Good to hear from you. I'm actually in Knoxville right now after some Tennessee baseball last night, detoured briefly by a guy named Julio Jones.
How did you, by the way, juggle those? So you're over there covering baseball, and like, what was the timing of it all? Did you write baseball and Julio Jones? Did you write it both?
Oh, yeah. So I was actually, I was leaving the house yesterday, and all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up. Like, my wife's about to take my daughter to camp for the week. I'm about to head to Knoxville, and then it's like, oh boy. So then I start sending texts to sources and on, So then it's like, just write as fast, because I was already sort of, I had it timed out to get to Knoxville a couple hours before the game.
Right.
So then you're just cranking stuff out, get on the road. Meanwhile, so then you're driving, and luckily the first game was slow. So the Tennessee game started almost an hour late, because I also had to stop at a McDonald's on the way for John Robinson's press conference, which I did not anticipate him having yesterday. I mean, I was told initially, sometime this week, get all right, cross the T's, dot the I's, physical, then we'll figure it out. But it was like, boom, John Robinson, talking at 3:30. I'm like, normally I'd be like, awesome. But
now you're pulled over to McDonald's. Where was the McDonald's? Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it was
somewhere.
It was,
I've done that drive a million times. So,
yeah.
And by the way, you cover a fair amount of baseball. Is college baseball big in Nashville because Vanderbilt has been so big and great at baseball, and how big is it? Like, what is the demand? I cover no college baseball, basically none. Memphis isn't good right now, among other things. And then, because whether I was at the CA or at the Daily Memphian, we left back then. We left Knoxville. The CA stopped covering the University of Tennessee, and we don't. So CA stopped covering Ole Miss, really. And because you focused on and you let Knoxville cover Tennessee, and so we didn't really cover college baseball, but it's massive in Nashville, isn't it?
Yeah, it's big. I think it's big. So, I will tell you. So, first of all, someone coming from the Big Ten country, I didn't even think about that. Come down here. College baseball is like, no. I mean, I know Michigan made the World Series, final series against Vanderbilt 2 years ago. So there was some people realized that there are college baseball teams up there. But for the most part, I mean, it's non-existent. And so I didn't even think about it. Came down here, I was kind of blown away. In the SEC in general, I think especially it's you just got some programs that really invest. You got future pros and really good facilities. But I think with Nashville, some of it really does depend on the Nashville Predators, Jeff. Tim Corbin had a couple, he has a good team every year, right?
Right.
But a couple years in there, it was kind of like, I mean, the Preds are making a run, man.
Right.
17 and 18. There wasn't a lot of Vanderbilt baseball talk, and it kind of worked out. 19, they had that, national championship team, great team. Kumar Rocker is a freshman, and the Preds are out away, So it's somewhat dependent. It's still down the list a little bit. But it's interesting now with Tennessee getting good, if this is going to be maintained, and this is going to be an actual, Tennessee-Vanderbilt rivalry with two elite national programs for a while, and with just the size of the Tennessee fan base that is starving for any kind of winner.
Right.
And I think that
that's the thing. Nice of Tennessee to have a winner. Like, as obviously football has been crushingly disappointing, and and as good as basketball was, it then underachieved this year, right? And relative to the expectations, and so nice for them to get baseball. All right, onward to the Titans. Does this do anything? Where does this play? Where were the Titans in the AFC hierarchy before this, and where are they now?
So to me, I would put them, I still think they're in a, let me see if I count it right, five-team conglomerate right beneath the Chiefs. And maybe not right beneath, but beneath the Chiefs. So that group to me is the Bills, Colts, Titans, Browns, Ravens. But I would move them, if I had to rank them, I would have the Titans or Bills fighting for the second spot now. And I would probably have had the Titans a little bit more closer fighting with the fifth spot with the Ravens before. To me, people who should be upset today, one would be like Colts fans. Not just that I don't know that they ever even got into this, but the fact that now the Titans have him strengthens the Titans' chances of repeating as AFC South champs. You know, I mean, it's so hard to know, obviously, what the impact will be, but If you're a Titans fan today and you're not excited about this, I can't understand that. I mean, we'll see if he can be healthy and if he has elite play left in him. But if he can be on that field and be close to what he's been, even be what he was last year when he was playing. And by the way, he was playing through a hammy injury in a few of those games and still would have had like a 1,300-yard season. If he's that on the field with Henry and Brown, I mean, how imposing is that? How fun is that? Like, the NFL actually wants to watch the Titans for a change. You know, like, this is, to me, a big deal in terms of just the fun and excitement that it brings. And, yes, it's a go-for-it move, and John Robinson should be going for it right now. Derrick Henry can't have too many more seasons of being that guy ahead of him.
Well, and plus, I mean, they had lost Jonnu Smith, who I think is a really significant loss, and Corey Davis, obviously. So you might be building up the defense with Bud Dupree in the corner in the draft and whatnot, but if you're giving it back, on the other hand, by being less explosive offensively, and now you would think they shouldn't miss a beat. Obviously, Arthur Smith, the pride of Memphis, also gone now, so we'll see what that means, but I think, to me, you can imagine that the offense will be just as productive or more, or maybe differently. Maybe that's the way to put it. And hopefully the defense will improve.
Right. I mean, they've done a ton on the defense. I've heard that, you know, quite a bit in the last day. Well, what about the defense? Well, I mean, look, I don't know if it's going to work, but John Robinson has massively changed the defense. They have an all-new corner group. They brought in, like you said, Bud Dupree. I mean, I think Denico Autry is a really good signing up front with Jeffrey Simmons. You know, you got to hope that Kevin Byard and Rashawn Evans play better, and that having an actual coordinator with a title, though Mike Vrabel swears that doesn't matter, does matter. So if you can get to mediocre with that defense, it's really what you need to do. You need to get to so-so, middle of the pack. Because last year, you're talking about the worst third down defense ever since the stat was kept by the NFL. And I'm guessing that, you know, in the 70s and before, you didn't have too many defenses giving up 50% plus in that league, you know? So, I mean, you're talking about just incredible futility in passing downs last year. Just get to okay. And, yeah, you're right, Jeff. I mean, this offense could take a step, and this was already the best offense in Titans history. And that will be, I think, the guy under the most pressure. You touched on it. You know, Arthur Smith was also a big part, of course, of what they've done. He was a tremendous OC, tremendous play calling, design, game plans. So Todd Downing, who had a bad year as OC in Oakland in 2017, I think he's the guy with the most pressure now. Like, you can't screw this up, man. Look at the players you have on this offense.
How well did you get to know Arthur Smith? Like, is there a general sense that he was tremendous?
Yeah, I would say, you know, decently well, even before he became OC. I mean, he was one of my favorites. It's funny because when he was the tight ends coach, he was one of the best guys to talk to because there's not usually a crowd, right?
Right.
You get really frank talking. It's really good stuff. And he's the OC and everybody's crowding around him, and he didn't love that. You know, but no, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the one thing you didn't know when he got the job was, okay, what is he as a play caller? You have no clue until you see it. But you look at his career path and how you know, just survived every regime change there, and he kept moving up. And the relationships with his players and the respect for him in the building, it's all real. I mean, it's a big part of why he, yeah, he was a successful OC. But the whole he's the whole package, you know. And I'm going to be really interested to see, you know, how he does there. But, no, I mean, he was a big part. It's great to have Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. And like you said, Johnny Smith was very good. Taylor Lewan, you know, a lot of talent, but he took it to another level.
How do they pay for this, his deal? And by the way, is he, because one of the rumors is that he was partly unhappy in Atlanta because he wanted a new deal. Are they going to have to give him a new deal? Or because I think, what, he's $14 million is not a lot for an elite receiver at this point. So there's the issue of fitting him in into their current structure. And then does he have to get a new deal going forward?
Right. That's a great question. John Robinson wasn't really fielding those yesterday. You know, as far as fitting him, the obvious move is to restructure Tannehill. And if you convert him to bonus this year, then you spread it out next couple of years, split it and spread it. And that creates the room. Now you could also do that with Jones's contract. You know, and convert it to mostly bonus, and you would create the room. And of course, again, it's always kicking the can down the road in this league. And, you know, there's plenty of teams out there you can look at who are in some caps situations now because they've done this. But that's a really interesting question on Jones and whether he wants a new deal, will want a new deal out of this. I mean, to me, I'll be surprised if there is one. Now, if he has a good year, we've seen Julio Jones a couple times in his career, you know, not in a contract year, say, hey, I want my deal redone. Could he do that at age 33 after a really good 21 season? Yes, but that would be my suspicions. It wouldn't be until after that, but we'll see. I mean, it's, I think one or two or even both in some form of those two contracts are the ones that change to make the room.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.